Fine. Stern, how about you, sir?
If a patient is faced with a doctor, whether the doctor calls himself holistic or otherwise, the patient still has to ask the same three or four questions. Number one, doctor, do you know how to do home births and do you approve of them? Doctor, do you give your patients the printed information about the dangers of important drugs when you prescribe those drugs? Doctor, will you go to bat for your patient, even if it means testifying in court against another doctor? And if you get the right answers to those questions, then you know you have a good doctor, whether he's holistic or otherwise.
From the gleam in your eye, do I get the feeling that those questions are not in the main going to be answered correctly?
Well, I have to tell you, Michael, there's room for optimism, because just a few weeks ago in Chicago, the first case came down awarding $5.5 million to a child who was brain damaged as a result of the DPT vaccine, and that case hinged on the testimony of some expert doctors against other doctors. So I think that we're making progress in medicine, thanks mostly to the media and to the law courts, because those are the cutting edges of modern medicine today.
Dr. Stein.
I'd like to point out, you mentioned the damage from a DPT vaccine. The American Academy of Pediatrics has been and is working very hard on getting legislation passed which will recompense and support the victims of the complications of the pertussis vaccine. Because if the idea is, and I think this is valid, if you require it for school entry, then you should also take responsibility for the consequences. The problem with children politically and getting laws passed is that they have very little clout. You know, children are, you know, have very small voices and they don't get very big allowances. And politicians and legislators tend to ignore them.
Do you know you ignore one of my questions, my very first question?
What was that?
You didn't really get the chance to respond. Why do you think the infant mortality rate is as high as it is?
Well, I think when you showed me the article, which was
yes.
in the paper, which I hadn't read before, but it validates what my perception was, that the biggest problem, according to this article, has to do with black versus white infant mortality rates and lower socioeconomic classes. Right. And I think the biggest problem in that is that the disparity between the haves and the have-nots has increased enormously over the last years. Facilities are not as available. We have a government that does not consider health care and infant welfare as a very important priority.
Why
and
should we?
Prenatal
as
the
niece care, said, there was no real hunger.
Right. So prenatal care is not available very much, and the infant mortality partly and to a large extent is due to poor prenatal care, poor maternal nutrition, very early pregnancies in 13, 14, 15-year-old girls, et cetera.
Do you agree?
Without in any way disregarding socioeconomic factors, I'd like to point out that the studies on the rising infant mortality show that it is rising in every socioeconomic class, and that's why pregnant women have to be so careful when they go to their doctor, because they may be getting malnourished as a result of the obstetrician saying to them, limit your weight gain. Because when I went to the University of Chicago, they used to limit the weight gain to 10 or 15 pounds. Now they limit it to 20 to 25 pounds. They give the mother diuretics. They give her all kinds of drugs.
Dr. And Stern is nodding no, no, no. All right.
I will let Dr. Stern interrupt.
As far as I have perceived and from what I have read and from my patients who come in pregnant, I don't know a well-qualified obstetrician who will limit weight gain except for reasonable limits. You shouldn't gain 100 pounds during your pregnancy. But within the boundaries of good health, the idea of gaining 20 pounds is obsolete. People are not told to only gain 20 pounds unless they happen to start 50 or 60 pounds overweight.
Well, my argument is that any quantitative limit on weight gain is obsolete. Weight should be determined by the qualitative aspects of the food that you eat, and that's why I tell women that if you want to have a good prenatal care experience, go to a midwife instead of an obstetrician.
I want to get in a moment, when I get a chance for one more question to you, Dr. Stern, and I'd love to turn to the phones, to your feeling about home birthing, because I know Dr. Mendelsohn feels very strongly about it. Meanwhile, Anne, you're on talk radio.
Yes, hello, doctors. I would like your opinion about ear infections. I have a 3-year-old son,
mm-hmm.
and he has had ear infection, about 15 of them in his lifetime, and he has prescribed antibiotics for them. And my great concern is taking all of this antibiotic.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there are now enough studies that show that antibiotics and decongestants for ear infections are no good. And I have a special newsletter out on how to treat ear infections without antibiotics or without those tympanostomy tubes, which doctors love to put in a child's ear. Because now the studies show that if you take one group of children, you treat them with antibiotics, and you take another group and you treat them without antibiotics, the results in terms of hearing loss and infection are exactly the same after a certain number of months. And the problem with doctors is that when they go to treat ear infections, they disregard the effect of nutrition, they disregard the effect of allergies, and that's why I recommend that if your doctor treats your child's recurrent ear infections with antibiotics, find yourself a better doctor.
Our guests are doctors of fine experience and schooling, Dr. Lorraine Stern and Dr. Robert Mendelson. You wanted to add just one thing.
Well, no, it's too complicated. So
it is.
I was going to say, first of all, there was a study in Sweden that showed that if you take a group of children and treat half of them for ear infections and don't treat the other half, the incidence of ultimate clearing up is about the same, except in those children who develop mastoiditis. And children not treated with antibiotics were more likely to develop develop mastoiditis. And their suggestion was that you wait until they develop mastoiditis to treat the ear infection, which does not seem like a very acceptable state of affairs for American parents. Also, antibiotics do, I agree with you, decongestants do not do anything for ear infections. However, antibiotics do shorten the course of otitis. They shorten the period of fever and they shorten the period of pain. And I think that's an acceptable reason to use it, not ignoring the other factors.
And I hope we've enlightened and confused you. I'm Michael Jackson. This is Talk Radio 79, KABC Los Angeles. This winter, ski for yourself the biggest and most expensive renovation in the history of Southern California skiing. At Snow Valley in the San Bernardino Mountains, Snow Valley spent over $5 million this past summer to give you the biggest and best in local skiing, including 5 brand new runs and a new triple chair. For the nervous beginner, Snow Valley offers one of the largest beginner base areas in the West, 30 forgiving acres just for you, and lessons are half price with ski rentals. For advanced skiers, Snow Valley offers Slide Peak, which is big and steep and waiting for you. And the skiing's always great, since Snow Valley has the largest snowmaking capacity in the world. For Snow Valley reservations, call 714-867-5111. That's 867-5111. Visa and MasterCard are welcome, or call Ticketron. Ski the Snow Valley day or night, because at Snow Valley, they put their money where their mountain is. The finest skiing, Snow Valley.
Paul Harvey, one of America's most respected commentators, has been an important part of KABC for years. You hear him now at 7 in the morning during the Ken and Bob Company, and again at noon during the Michael Jackson program. Now, Paul Harvey comes to evening KABC at 7:05, just before Hilly Rose. Join Paul at 7:05 for the rest of the story on Talk Radio 79, your ABC Olympic station for Southern California.
Would you consider working overseas if all your income were tax-free? Think about that. How about if your housing, food, and medical expenses were also paid for? And if your employer gave you 30 days annual leave, including your round-trip ticket plus 2 weeks R&R every 4 to 6 months? Imagine the money you'd save. Well, there are many countries in Europe, the Middle East, and elsewhere who need skilled American workers, and they're making very attractive offers. If you're an engineer, technician, a teacher, or curriculum writer, or if you're involved in computers, communications, defense, or the medical profession, then call Intraworld Career Services. They specialize in overseas placement, and they currently have over 500 positions available, so call them right now, 440-9461. 440-9461. They'll be answering their phones until 5 today. That's Intraworld Career Services, Pasadena, I-N-T-R-A, Intraworld, 440-9461. 440-9461. This is Talk Radio. I'm Michael Jackson. Our guest, distinguished professors of pediatrics and medicine, Dr. Lorraine Stern and Dr. Robert Mendelson. And I know how strongly Dr. Mendelson is in support of and likes the idea of home birth. How do you feel about that, Dr. Stern?
The idea is terrific.
However,
the problem is that if everything goes in a straight line, first of all, you have to realize several things about home births. If properly done, and I'm sure you advocate properly done, properly prepared home births, The woman who is allowed to birth at home is healthy, has no complications, is not diabetic, is not hypertensive, and does not have disorders which would predispose her to have some kind of catastrophe at home.
Or unexpected catastrophe.
Right.
Okay.
Now, then there are the unexpected catastrophes. If you have a birth at home proceeding as you described your daughter's birth, which was 5 hours of labor with her loving family around and a healthy baby, that's terrific. However, in my 15 years in pediatrics, I have too often seen unexpected catastrophes happen that there was absolutely no way of anticipating. One of my favorite patients, who's now about 3 years old, was being born to a very healthy young woman, and right in the middle of labor, his heart rate just dropped out. There was no way to figure out what had gone on. He was extracted very quickly, and it turned out he had ruptured a blood vessel in his umbilical cord and was bleeding to death. He was very quickly transfused, and he was resuscitated, and he has a very healthy, normal 3-year-old. And I have no doubt in my mind that this child would have died at home. The other problem with home births is that it's very difficult to get accurate statistics on home births. There is nobody around. If you have something in a hospital that occurs, you cannot falsify any kind of, yes.
Okay, let me interject here, because I'm the father of three, and I've watched them born. And I thanked myself, thank the Lord, they worked out okay. If you were my wife, Dr. Mendelsohn, I would say, and you asked me for advice, I'd say, let's have the fourth one in the hospital. Let's not have a fourth one. But if we are to have a fourth one, let's have it in a hospital. Why, husband? Because of exactly what Dr. Stern has said to me.
Well, my guess is that maybe if you had had the first three at home, you and your wife, maybe you would say, let's have a fourth one.
I don't want a fourth one. I know I don't want a fourth. If there's a fourth one listening that's on the way, I'm terribly sorry I said that, and I'll be a good dad.
I have to tell you, one of the greatest dangers of home birth,
yes,
is that it's such a wonderful experience for the whole family, they want to have more babies.
Life can be filled with wonderful experiences. Why does the agony of the endurance of labor have to be a pleasant experience? Why can it be a safe one?
I have to tell you that my major number one bottom line reason for pushing,
yes,
for pushing home births is because hospital births in the last 15 years have become so dangerous. There is no way for a mother now to escape diagnostic ultrasound, which has now been linked to leukemia by Dr. Alice Stewart, leukemia in the later born child by Dr. Alice Stewart, head of the Oxford Child Cancer Study. There is no way today for most mothers in hospitals to escape electronic fetal monitoring, episiotomy, shaving of the pubic hair, analgesia, anesthesia, and all the rest of the chamber of horrors that threatens the safety and health of the baby.
Do you advocate the chamber of horrors?
Absolutely not. And the approach, I agree with you about the conditions surrounding childbirth as of 10 years ago or 15 years ago. The solution to that, however, is to increasingly strive for a more acceptable environment in the hospital, which is being done. I have to tell you, I recently saw a baby in my office who was the third child of a woman, and her 10-year-old child attended the delivery, as well as her husband and her mother, within the birthing center, which granted is not home, but which is a very pleasant environment,
with
providing a positive experience for everybody. And she was not quickly rushed into the delivery room and sliced open. She was given a birth that was very much under her control.
Should the woman be shaved?
No, there's no need to shave
but
a woman.
They do it.
No, not anymore. Most people don't.
Should, what was the other from the list of chamber of horrors? Ultrasound? You're not quite sure yourself, are you, Dr.
No, I'm not. But ultrasound's not performed in the hospital. You're talking about prenatally. That's not a danger of delivery in the hospital.
Not exactly. Because electronic fetal monitoring in the hospital includes ultrasound.
Okay.
So there is no way, either prenatally or during the process,
but
for a woman to
escape
that.
Can the mother not stipulate, I do not want
absolutely
the following procedures?
Oh, but Michael, if she's in the hospital, she cannot stipulate that I don't want silver nitrate or antibiotic eye drops poured into my baby's eyes.
Why
certainly
don't you
can.
Why
because
you?
Every state law mandates in this country that those dangerous drops have to be instilled in babies.
How are they dangerous?
They are dangerous because, in the first place, by producing a chemical conjunctivitis, they interfere with the infant's vision for the first week or two of life. They can lead to blocked tear ducts, which necessitate surgical intervention in the first year of life. and many of us think that the high incidence in the U.S. of myopia and astigmatism is related to the installation of this caustic agent into the tender, delicate membranes of the newborn's eyes.
You disagree with Dr. Mendelsohn?
Silver nitrate is an irritant, and a better solution which recently arose was the installation of erythromycin ointment into the infant's eyes.
But you people have such influence. Why do you not speak out about it? You do, sir. But why does the organization that represents all pediatrics specialists speak out and say, we must change?
They always do.
But we still always do put silver nitrate in the
eyes. No, we don't. We have changed to erythromycin ointment, which is non-irritating, which protects not only against gonorrhea, but against chlamydia, which is an organism which infants pick up on the way through the vaginal tract, which is very common, much more common than gonorrhea in infants' eyes.
I advise that every mother who's lying on that table say to the doctor when he comes at her baby with those antibiotic or silver nitrate eye drops, but doctor, I didn't have gonorrhea when I entered your delivery room.
Ouch! Our guests, Dr. Robert Mendelsohn and Dr. Lorraine Stern. I'm Michael Jackson. This is Talk Radio 79, KABC. For golfers, the big news of the year, all metal woods. The breakthrough in club design that's keeping balls out of the rough. Now, you don't have to pay a premium for all metals. Not at Shamrock Golf Shops. You'll find cut prices on the Pittsburgh Persimmon, the Wilson Cannon, the Ginted. Try the new Shamrock Quantum, an outstanding value at only $37.17 per club. Open stock on driver, 3, 4, and 5 woods. Shamrock's a real pro-line club with true temper dynamic shaft, and it's only $37.17 per club for Shamrock all-metal woods. 5 Shamrock Pro Shops, the four-day shops on Pico in West Los Angeles, at 15th and Main in Santa Ana, on Green at Chester in Pasadena, and Len Canet's Shamrock Shops at the Lakewood Course in Long Beach, Los Verdes Course in Palos Verdes. Just ask information for the Shamrock Golf Shop near you. Give a Shamrock a gift certificate, any amount, for the top line of golf equipment. The big news of the year. All metal woods, the breakthrough in club design. Shamrock Golf Shops.
This is the sound of a perfectly tuned automotive machine. Unfortunately, not all used cars sound quite this good, which is why it's important to listen for the danger signs. The sound of an unhealthy engine. A muffler that doesn't muffle. Or squeaky brakes that might end up putting you in a crunch. Above all, it's important to listen very carefully to the dealer who sells you the car. Ask him to explain the warranty completely, and if he makes any promises, get them in writing. This message is brought to you by the Federal Trade Commission, because when you're buying a used car, it's important to keep your eyes and ears wide open.
These upcoming weeks between New Year's and Valentine's Day are a special time of the year in every See's candy shop. A between holidays time when you can drift into a See's shop at your leisure and pick out something just because it looks so good, like maybe a See's Bordeaux. A butter cream made with golden brown sugar and dipped in either milk or dark chocolate, then topped with chocolate sprinkles. Can't you taste that Bordeaux right now? And you know that the first delicious bite always tastes like more. Of course, the Bordeaux is just one of more than 90 taste-tempting varieties of See's candies, and it's such fun to sample whichever variety happens to tempt you most at the moment. So easy and so very economical at See's, because you can always buy just a piece or two at a time at any See's candy shop. See's candies. Each is a reminder that for 63 years, no one has matched See's quality at See's prices. Their purity, their ingredients, their price. See's candy.
KABC Los Angeles, your ABC Olympic station.
This invitation to you two is going to be extended time and time again. I find it, as I said, kidding me, but I think, more I think about it, more accurately, enlightening and confusing. Dr. Robert Mendelsohn, Dr. Lorraine Stern. Miriam, they're yours.
Hello, yes. I'd like to know if there's another side to the story of the link between ultrasound and leukemia.
Another side?
In other words, does Dr. Stern have a rebuttal? Is there a definite link between ultrasound and leukemia?
Ah, and let me at the same time, because I'm told the next line wants to speak to the same subject.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, Julie.
Yes, I'm terrified. I have two pregnant daughters, and a daughter-in-law who had four of these treatments. The other girls have not had them yet, and they're waiting for my tape of Dr. Mendelsohn's remarks. He said something about collecting your medical records if you've ever had this.
Julie, Miriam, you're both on the same track, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I can say, a couple of things that I can say is that I have to interject that I'm not entirely convinced of the safety of ultrasound in 30 or 40 years because we haven't had that.
Do you still use ultrasound?
I don't use it. The obstetricians use it.
Do you advocate that the obstetrician uses it on your patients?
I advocate that the obstetrician uses it for information which is vital to the health and well-being of the mother and the fetus, just as the use of x-rays should only be instituted when the health and well-being of the patient is an issue.
Well, now, wait a second there, because I have information published in my newsletter which comes right from the U.S. government, the Department of HHS, in their bulletin called called Ultrasound Overview, where they show that the value of ultrasound in terms of outcome of either mother or baby has never been proven. In other words, there's no question that the obstetrician can see more. He can see where the placenta is and if there's twins, but there's no evidence that that improves the outcome. In the meantime, the evidence, both experimental and now human, questioning the damage that ultrasound can do to the DNA mechanism of the chromosome and everything else makes me convinced that every pediatrician, as long as we're pediatricians, should be saying to their pregnant patient, and after all, the pregnant patient belongs to the pediatrician and the obstetrician jointly, should be saying to that pregnant woman, you ask your obstetrician if he knows of the WHO studies and if he knows of the HHS studies in Washington and Bethesda, Maryland, that cast extreme doubt on both the efficacy and the safety of diagnostic ultrasound.
Julie and Miriam?
Yes.
Does that answer you?
Yes, indeed. I'll send the tape off this afternoon.
Okay.
Her doctor said absolutely, just because they catch heart problems, they catch all kinds of problems, and yet her fetus, the first one, was normal and didn't have it, and he's supposed to be very fine, so she's fighting me all the way.
Well, I can give you my documentation. Now, you challenge your doctor to see if he can give you documentation and insist that it be in writing.
Okay, now, I get letters galore after you leave me. Don't do this to me. What's your address, sir?
Thank you, Michael. My newsletter address is Box 792, Evanston, Illinois. The zip is 60204, and I have issues on the dangers of the antihypertensive drugs and the antiarthritics.
Send them out for free, would you? Because otherwise
I will. I will be glad, Michael, to send a free newsletter to anybody, and I would appreciate if they would send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope.
So you can steam off the stamp and use it again. I'm going to test your honesty. If a letter comes to you and the stamp hasn't been franked, would you use it again?
It hasn't happened, but I got a hunch that my personnel would use it again.
That's okay.
Because if there's anything that I trust in my personnel, it's their honesty.
I trust
As a matter of fact, they keep me honest.
I trust the honesty of both of you in Pasadena. They will benefit from your wisdom this weekend at the conference. Dr. Lorraine Stern, I benefited from your knowledge, too. Both of you, please come back again.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Lorraine Stern, Robert Mendelsohn.
Yeah.
Your ABC Olympic station, KABC, Los Angeles.
A barren border crossing somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Another 100.